Well, please turn your Bibles to Luke's Gospel. This evening we shall be looking at Luke chapter 6, verse 27 to 36. Luke chapter 6, verse 27 to 36. Luke chapter 6, verse 27 to 36. Hear the word of the Lord. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be the sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. This is God's word. Let us pray. Our Lord, as we come now to a time of opening your word, we would ask that you would speak to us. That, Lord, we would hear. That we would hear what the Spirit would say to us. That the Holy Spirit be amongst us. That he would take the word as it is proclaimed, and that he would apply it to our lives. Oh Lord, tonight may he convict us, may he encourage us, and may he point us to Jesus. Lord, tonight may your word transform us. May you grow us in the knowledge of Christ, and may we become more like him. Oh Lord, we pray that you would be honored this evening, that everything would focus about you, and Jesus, you would be praised. We pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Well, something that I personally enjoy studying and have plenty of time to look into is things in relation to military history. And now, as an Australian, my bent is always towards Australian military history. So I could probably tell you of the battles that Australian forces have been in over the battles that British forces have been in. However, in the Second World War, in the Asia-Pacific region, the Australian and British soldiers often found themselves working side by side against a common enemy. And if you ever get a chance to look into the Second World War and the war in the Pacific, you would find that great acts of horror occurred. War is barbaric at the best of times. But some of the things that you read and see coming out of the Second World War in the Pacific is beyond belief. For instance, in the 1940s, Japan had a reputation of being extremely harsh and barbaric towards those who they took prisoner. And this came out of their worldview that said it is better to die in combat than to be taken a prisoner, for that was a sign that you were a weak man, a coward, and someone who should be despised. But with the fall of Singapore, where British forces surrendered en masse, often without fighting, the Japanese saw the Allied soldiers as being weak. And the horror stories that then came out of the prisoner of war camp, no one can imagine. I've spoken to people who spent time in some of those POW camps, and you just sit there looking at them going, how did you survive? And of course the question comes into your mind, would I? See, these men faced things that were absolutely atrocious. And while all the prisoner of war camps in the Pacific were horrible places, there is one that stood out as being one of the worst, and that was the Burma Railroad, the Burma prison. Now, this place held 60,000 Allied soldiers, mostly British, Australian and Dutch forces. And the Japanese here were known as being the cruelest around. The prisoners of this camp were used specifically as slave labour to build the railroad to help advance Japanese supplies so the war could continue. And in that culture and that prison system, if you failed to do your duty, if you got sick and ill, the Japanese soldiers would kill you or leave you for dead in the jungle. They would show no mercy. If you didn't do your daily workload, your rations would disappear and you'd suffer a beating. They said beheadings, beatings and shootings were common occurrence in the prison camps. Yet some of the testimonies you read from these prison camps are amazing. One man said the most hated group in the prisoner of war camps were not necessarily the soldiers who surrendered, but the Christian soldiers who surrendered. For some reason, he said, the Christians were singled out, and there are accounts of Christian soldiers being nailed to the cross and lifted high as Japanese soldiers laughed around the foot of the cross. Now, if you were in that environment, imagine how you would feel towards your captors. You read some of the accounts and you find that prisoners felt absolute hatred for the Japanese. All they wanted was the Japanese to be wiped out and for justice to come. However, in the Burma camp one day, a Bible was discovered. And a story is told that Bible transformed the attitude of many of the prisoners. Now, the Bible was contraband. You couldn't have it. The Japanese would kill you the moment they found that you had one. So the men hid it, and they began to read in silent and in secret. And as they read, they come across scriptures that led them to faith. Allied soldiers were being converted in the prison camps. And as they read about Jesus and how he suffered and died on the cross and how the soldiers mocked him and he cried out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The Allied soldiers said, we too should love like Jesus loved. We should love the Japanese. So that's what some of them started to do. They began to love their enemies. They began to do good to those who hated them. And as a result, the prison guards didn't know what to do. Some of them got angry and said, we'll wipe out this new movement. But others began to soften and said, we just won't deal with them. And some soldiers said their conditions actually improved when they started to love their enemy. It changed the camp. When we hear stories like that, we should stand in amazement at just how much the message of Jesus can change someone. What sort of love is it to take someone who is facing death constantly to turn around and say, I'm going to love that man who wants to kill me. I'm going to love my enemy. You see, the message of Christ, the message of Jesus and what he taught his people is a message that tells us to act in the opposite way to which the world says we should act. The wisdom of the world says that if your enemy attacks you, if your enemy does evil towards you, then you don't love them, you hate them, and you seek to destroy them. But Christianity has been known as the upside down kingdom because it turns it on its head and says, no, the enemy who hates you, the enemy who wants to kill you, the enemy who wants to destroy you, they are the people you are to love. That seems to fly opposite to what our wisdom tells us. Yet that is exactly what Jesus says. Love your enemies. As we continue our series through the Sermon on the Mount here in Luke's Gospel, we see that Jesus here is spending time talking to his disciples saying, this is how you shall live. And this is what you should be doing in the way you conduct yourself towards outsiders. We saw last time as we went through the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, where Jesus said, those who follow me will suffer persecution, they will suffer hardships, but they are to rejoice and be happy. But here Christ goes a step further and says, don't just rejoice and say, God has got this under control, but he says, those who are persecuting you, you have a job to do towards them. You're to love them. You're to do good towards them. You care for those who hate you. You love those who exclude you, and you do good to those who revile you. Treat them the same way you want to be treated. Love them because you want to be loved. Now let me be straight up, this is harder said than done. Easier said than done. It's hard to put this into practice. How do you love your enemies? It's a hard saying. But it's a saying that we have to grapple with because this is a command of Christ. Look what Christ says, verse 27 to 28. He says, but to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who would spitefully use you. This is the high calling of the Christian. This is what we are called to. This is how we are to conduct ourselves. Jesus says to those who gathered that day on the mount to hear him preach, and indeed he says to us tonight, to those who would hear what he says, that if we are going to be his followers, then we have to follow what he says. We have to do what he says. We have to put into practice even the hard commands of Christ. And the command to love your enemy is hard. It is a radical command. Love your enemy. It's radical in its nature. It's the opposite to everything we think, yet we are called to be radical followers of Jesus Christ. We are to say, this is hard, but by with God's grace, I'm going to try and love those who hate me. I'm going to love my enemies. Yet so many people today would take the name of Christ and say they are a Christian, yet not do what Christ says. If we are serious about our faith in Jesus, we must be obedient to his commands. Jesus says, if you love me, you will do as I say. Now that doesn't mean we get to pick and choose the teachings of Jesus that we like, the teachings that benefit us and the teachings that we find easy. It means we've got to take it all. We've got to take the hard things. The things that might rub us up the wrong way. A command like this goes very much against our nature. But we have no choice but to be obedient. If we love Jesus, then we must love our enemies. From a young age, we're taught to do the opposite to what Christ says here. We are told to look out for what? Number one? Don't love those who are going to pull you down or destroy you. Only work with those that you can use to advance your goal and your purpose. Those who would seek to destroy you, you run as far as possible from them. Yet Christ says, no, you run towards them. You love them. You draw near to them in order to do good towards them. We aren't to hate, but rather we are to love. In our natural flesh, there's no way we can do this. In our own strength, we could never pull this one off. Our nature says no. Our programming, by the way we're raised, says no. But Christ says, when I come, I'll make you new. I'll give you a new nature with new desires and a new heart. And I say, love your enemies. As I looked into this message, I came across a story of this love for enemies in action, and I was completely amazed by it. It's a true story of a man in the US, a man whose son got mixed up with the wrong crowd, got mixed up in gangs. And one night his son got killed by another gang member. And this father was naturally devastated. He had lost his son, the boy he loved. The boy he had invested in, the boy that he promised to look after. Yet what that man did next is incredible. That man went to the gang member who killed his son and saw that this gang member was a young man himself, a boy not old enough to be an adult. And after that young man served his time in prison, that father adopted the gang member that killed his son. And said, I'll treat you as my son. And to this day, that father has felt nothing but love towards his enemy. Only a life controlled by the love of Jesus could do that. I don't know if I could do it. Maybe I've got to grow in sanctification. I don't think I could do that. Yet that's what he did. He said, Jesus said, love my enemies. That man's my enemy. He took away my dear son. Yet I'm going to bring him into my family. I'm going to love him and treat him as my own. See, the world stands amazed at those sort of stories because it's so foreign to what we know. It's the opposite to what we do. But that's what Christ says. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. I mean, just think about that statement. Our enemies are those who want to destroy us. They want to harm us. They want to pull us down. The last thing we want to do is love them. Yet Jesus says, go to that man. Go to that woman. Go to that person that hates you and do good. Love them. Care for them. It doesn't sit well, does it? Even as I stand here preaching this, I'm going, this is hard. This is not an easy command to follow. I mean, my natural reaction is this. If someone punches me, I want to punch them back twice as hard so they don't do it again. That's our inbuilt reaction, isn't it? You hurt me, I'm going to take you out. But Jesus says, no. If they hurt you, if they attack you, if they're your enemy, love them. Do good towards them. Now, it should be noted in this command here of Jesus, the Greek word used for love here is not just a I love you kind of love. It's not just looking at your enemy and saying, I love you, and then walking away quickly. No, the word used here is a love that is the same word used when it talks about the love of Christ shown towards sinners. It's a love that says, I will give, and I will keep giving. It's a love that says, I'm going to think of you higher than myself. It's a love that says, I'm going to care for you and I'm going to look after you. It's a self-sacrificial love. That's the love we are to have towards our enemies. It's one thing to say, well, look, Jesus says, love your enemies. I'm just going to tell the guy I love him and then never look at him again. But Jesus says, no, the love you are to have is a love that says, I love you with the love of Christ, and I'm going to keep loving you, and I'm going to keep doing good towards you. Now, this doesn't mean that we turn a blind eye to their sin. No, we don't do that, and we will have to speak up against injustice. But we're to love our enemies. We're to give to them. We're to care for them. But how do we show this giving love? Well, the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 12, he says these words. He says, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you'll heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. There's that love in action. It's a love that says, my enemy is in need of food, I'll give him food. My enemy is in need of drink, I will give him drink. My enemy has need, I will give to him self-sacrificially, I will give to him from a heart of kindness and a heart of love. We don't just do this to people we like, we are to do this to the people that don't like us. Those who hate you, love them. But Jesus says you don't just show love towards them, but then you are to bless them. Bless those who curse you. Now, blessing here is not a case of, I want to bless you with 50 pounds or I want to bless you with a cold drink. No, in the Jewish culture, blessing means the way you speak towards someone. You know, it's so easy to say, well, I'm going to do good to my enemy and then go off and tell your mates just how horrible that person is. Jesus says, no, don't even go bad-mouthing them. Bless them. Speak well of those who curse you. Control your tongue when you talk about them. If someone curses you, it's natural for us to want to curse them back. If someone tells us what they think of us, we want to tell them what we think of them. But Jesus says when they curse you, bless them. And the blessing that Jesus speaks of here in the gospel is a Jewish blessing that's more than just saying nice things about someone. The Jews, when they bless someone, is to wish prosperity upon them. To wish well-being upon them. To wish that nothing bad would happen to them. So Jesus says, bless those who curse you. Wish that they would prosper. Wish that they would have blessing. Wish that nothing bad would happen to them. This is a hard command, isn't it? Love your enemies. Speak well of them. And wish that nothing bad happens to them. But then Jesus says, oh, by the way, pray for those who spitefully use you. Spend time talking to God about the enemy. It's very hard to pray for someone you hate. You can pray for those you love quite easily. But Jesus says you need to pray for the enemy. You need to love him. You need to speak well of him. And then you need to be praying for him. I'll be the first to admit I fail so many times in this area. I'll be the first one to put my hand up for that one. So often, when someone attacks, you just want to go on a seek and destroy mission. But we're to go on a seek and save mission, a mission that seeks to go to our enemies with love and present the love of Christ to them. To love them in a way that we can't love them in our own strength, but to love them with the love of Jesus. So how do we do this? How do we actually put this into practice? How do we get over the barrier that this person is our enemy? Well, something I've found that has helped me in loving my enemies, even though there's times I will fail, is that I start to think about myself in the light of the gospel. When someone wrongs me, when someone becomes my enemy, I begin to think about just who I am in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, when I look at my enemies and I see just how much they have harmed me and how much they attack me, I begin to think about my own sin and how I hated God and how I was God's enemy and how I wanted to attack him. Yet even though I was God's enemy and hated him and despised him and wanted nothing to do with him, he loved me self-sacrificially. When I think of myself in truth and then think about how God loved me, his enemy, that he loved me with an everlasting love, that he loved me to the point where he went and died on the cross for my sin. When I realize that I am no different to my enemy, that I have been shown love, that helps me to love them. That helps me to care for them. Because it tells me that except by the grace of God, I'd be the exact same person as my enemy. When I see myself in truth, as one who wronged God, yet God put up with me and loved me, really the wrong that person does towards me is not that big a thing. God loves us when we were his enemies. And we do a lot worse to God by our sin than what any enemy can do to us. If God shows grace and mercy and love towards us, then shouldn't we show it to others? It's self-righteous. It's arrogant. It's pride to say, I'm not going to love someone who wrongs me. We're to go, God loved me when I didn't love him. So with God's help, with God's enabling, I'm going to love my enemy. See, when you start to think about it this way, it does become easier. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. It's easier. We realize that we are no different. We have just experienced grace. And we should want our enemies to come and experience that grace also. That they would no longer be God's enemy, and as a result, they would no longer be our enemy. But they'll be our brother. That's how we are to love them. That is the love that Jesus has towards us, and that is the love that we are to have towards those who hate us. No matter what they do, no matter what hardship they put us through, we should love them and not expect anything in return. Even if they're still our enemy at the end of it, we're called to love them. And Jesus gives that analogy when he says the love that we are to have is to keep giving and to keep giving no matter what they do. Look at verse 29 to 34. He says, "To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back." Jesus here says, you just keep loving no matter what happens. If someone strikes you, keep loving. If they try and take what you need for life, keep loving. You keep loving no matter what. That is what Jesus is getting at here. He's saying that don't be like the evil person who wants to inflict injustice back upon the person who attacked you. Love them. Care for them no matter what. Don't be like the evil man. The evil man comes along and he tries to destroy you. Now, we have every right from Scripture to defend ourselves, but we have to love them and not try and go too far to take justice into our own hands. Vengeance is mine, the Bible says. I will repay, says the Lord. We love. We don't become like them. We do good towards them. If the enemy strikes you, if he takes what you need, if he demands finances from you, Jesus says when he does all that, don't retaliate. Love them. In the Jewish culture, this is something very real they had to live with, because they had a Roman army doing this to them all the time. These disciples had real world application straight away. And we know from reading the Gospels that these disciples went through these very things, where they have often had their clothes taken from them, and they wandered about naked, where they were often beaten and attacked and killed for their faith. Yet the amazing thing is, you read their testimonies, you read what they say, they keep loving. I mean, the Apostle Paul, he was beaten and left for dead, and what's he do? He immediately gets up and goes back to the people that attacked him and begins to preach to them again. That's love in action. You don't want to hear this? You want to wipe out the message of love? You need to hear the message of love. I'm going to go back and tell it to you. This is love in action. This is the love that we are to have. The love that bears no record of wrong. The love that comes from Jesus. A love that doesn't retaliate. A love that keeps on giving. That's the thrust of what Jesus is saying. Your love is not a one-off love. It's a constant giving love, no matter what injustice may come your way. A true story is told of a man who got mugged one night for his wallet. And as the mugger came along and drew a knife and said, "Give me your wallet. I want your money." The man handed over his wallet and the mugger went to run. And the man said, "Quick, wait, before you go, I have more cash in my pocket." And this stunned the mugger. Who does that? Who says, "You didn't get it all, here's a bit more"? And the mugger stopped and said, "Why are you doing this?" And the man said, "Because Jesus said I have to." That mugger professed faith in Christ that night. The man got his wallet back too, which is a bonus. But that's love in action. That's love for your enemies. That's love that keeps on giving. That's a love that says, "And just as you want men to do to you, you also do likewise." How do you want to be treated? How do you want people to treat you in your day-to-day life? How do you want people to respond to you? Well, I think we'd all say we want people to love us and look after us and not do evil towards us. And Jesus says, if that's what you want, then that's what you give. You love, you care, you show compassion, and you do it to all people, not just those that can give you something in return. See, this is the high calling that we as Christians are called to. A life of love towards all people. A life that gives and cares for those who are unlovely. This is how the sons of the kingdom should act. This is how we as followers of Jesus must behave. We must love and do good. Again, it's not going to be easy. Jesus didn't promise us an easy life. But we still must pursue his commands. And Jesus finishes by saying, but love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you'll be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore be merciful, just as your Father is also merciful. Notice Jesus again brings it back around. I started with the command to love your enemies, and now I'm finishing with the command, love your enemies. Jesus keeps bringing it home to us, and Christ says you are to do this because of your Father in heaven. Be merciful as he is merciful. He is kind to the evil. He is kind to the unthankful man. Be like him. Again, to see that illustrated, all you have to do is look at the cross. We were the unthankful man. We were the evil man. We were the one in need of mercy because we sinned against God. Yet God came down, Jesus Christ, bled and died on the cross for us, showing mercy towards us, rising again for our justification, showing nothing but love and kindness and giving us every good and perfect gift, saying, come to me and I will keep giving you. I will give you eternal life. I will give you joy. I'll give you peace, even though you're my enemy. He's merciful towards us. And Jesus says, look at that mercy. And go and do likewise. So are you loving your enemies? Some of us have more enemies than others. Are you loving them? Are you doing good towards those who would curse you? Are you praying for them? Are you blessing them? This is hard. I don't want anyone walking out tonight going, this is going to be easy. The moment you think it's going to be easy, you're going to find the worst enemy around is going to test that notion. It's hard. But we must have an eye on the mercy of God and say, he endured all that for me. Therefore, I'll endure my enemy's attack to love him as Christ loved me. To show mercy towards him as Christ showed mercy towards me. I'm going to love him. I'm going to care for him. I'm going to point him to Christ so that my enemy might become my brother. May God enable us to love as he loves. May he give us the grace that we need because we need his grace to fulfill this command. To love our enemies, to do good to those who hate you, to bless those who curse you, and to pray for those who spitefully use you. May God enable us to love as Jesus loved. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we acknowledge that many of your commands are hard and that we are not to pick and choose that which we want to follow. Lord, the command to love our enemies is something that doesn't come naturally to us. It is something that is hard and foreign to us. But Lord, as you showed mercy towards us, we would ask that you would enable us to show mercy and love towards those who hate us. That Lord, we would love our enemies, that we would do good towards them, that we would give to them. And that Lord, they would see your love shining through us. That they would then turn and come to know Christ as well. Lord, help us to fulfill your commands so that Jesus would be praised. Help us to love our enemies so that we would provide a visual example of the gospel. Oh Lord, would you be with us, forgive us for our many failings in this area, and help us to love our enemies in all things. We pray these things for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.